There's nothing we can't overcome. So that war you've been fighting, wind in God's timing, sing like the battle's been won.
Can you feel it? The song that is arising, and you can't help but let it out. If you're trusting in faith, even now while you wait,
of triumph. We win. He's already paid the price. He's already won the battle. And if we'll stay in the faith, we're going to win. But we've got to endure until the end. Amen. In the name of the Lord. My pastor used to say, I cheated. I read the last page. We win. I said, we win. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to be asking you to be in prayer for the school ministry about to go out on another tour. I got two more tours and a mission trip, so let's be in prayer for them. This time we're going to dismiss our children at Children's Church from age 5 to 12. 5 to 11, I believe that is. Excuse me. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts, chapter number 16. Acts 16 and verse number 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain Dismal, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by the soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather together in your name and to lift up your mighty name, Lord, that is above every other name. Lord, at the mighty name of Jesus, one day every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. I pray, Lord, that you would just illuminate the Word of God to us. I pray that you would minister to our hearts and lives. Let it do that deep work that changes us and transforms us. Lord, I'm asking you to speak by your Spirit. Let the anointing rest upon these lips of clay, and every ear let it be anointed to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. And Lord, we're thanking you in advance, giving you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the thought, devilish distractions. Devilish distractions. We know that in Satan's plan to oppose God's work, Satan has many, many tactics that he uses for the possible undoing of a child of God and the work of God. He is a tempter, the Bible calls him. He's the accuser of the brethren. He is a deceiver, and he's many other things to attack the people of God. But I want to speak about a tactic this morning that he uses that is one of his favorite tactics, and I believe one of his most successful tactics. And that tactic is this thing called distractions. Every one of us, we live in a society where we can easily be distracted. Everything around us pulls at us in every other direction. I'm being pulled this way and that way. You and I, as the people of God, hear me today on the onset of this message. We got to get our mind made up. We're going to get focused. We're going to look to Him. We're going to get our mind on the prize. Do you hear me today? I said there's a prize worth pressing forward, and the enemy of our soul wants to bring everything our way to distract and detour us. Webster's dictionary defines distractions as this: as something that directs one's attention away from something else. It's just directing your attention away from something else. Simply put, distractions are meant to shift your focus. I said this not very long ago, that they say that the human brain could only think of one thing at a time. You say, "Well, Brother Matt, I'm a multitasker." They say that you really can't do that. They say that the mind, although all these thoughts come in your mind, you can really only focus on one thing at a time. So what are distractions meant to do? Whenever you make up your mind, you're going to do the work of God. You're going to get yourself on the street called straight. You're going to get in God's plan, and you got a mind to do His will, and you begin that direction to do the will of God. The enemy of our soul, he's going to use every tactic in his arsenal, every tool in his tool bag to pull you away, to get your mind off the things of God. I'm going to tell you, distractions are one of the great tactics of the enemy. Distractions, again, are meant to shift our focus. Does it work, preacher? You better believe it works. It works so good that many of the enemy, his diversion tactics, whenever he uses them, we don't even know that he's using them. Distracting us. He pulls our attention in another direction. We don't even know Oftentimes when the devil is really trying to distract us. Oftentimes militaries in times past and currently today will use diversion tactics as a form of secret attack. Oftentimes they'll attack one area because their ultimate prize is that city, that large city, where that citadel, that stronghold is, that place of operation. So what do? They send a small portion of their army to attack another area, and they even announce it. They make it known. So they're trying to pull some of that army away from that protective big large city where that major stronghold is, to make that big city more vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what the devil does to us. Men of God, women of God, you can't take your eyes off your family. You can't take your eyes off of your home, because that devil, he'll get you so busy, and that teenager, that child will get locked into something, and things will happen and you won't even know that it took place. It's time that you and I, we get sober and vigilant and understand that our adversary, Harry the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. We've got to understand that the enemy's always trying to bring a diversion tactic to get your mind off of what God's called you to do, to get you away from your responsibility. Are you with me today? Have I ever been distracted? I've been distracted more times than I can count, or than I even want to confess today. But I have realized there's a devil out there who's going to use every device possible. And you may not even think it's a satanic distraction. It may not look like a devilish distraction. It may look like something that's everyday common life. It may be something good, something that's not sin, but ultimately the devil will bring it your way to get you locked in and get your focus off of the things of God. The devil operates that way. Be for sure, devilish distractions will come your way. How easy is it to get distracted? Distractions have taken more lives in the physical and in the spiritual than you could ever realize. I told my kids when they first started driving, that was one of the greatest trials of my life. We pulled out, it was one of my girls, we pulled out right out of this parking lot at Harvest Time Church, and they went on the other side, pulling right, they went into oncoming traffic. I'm telling you, I mean, it was a trial of my life, and a car almost hit us, you know. During those times of teaching, you, come on, you know what I'm talking about. You men and women, you taught your children how to drive, and I'm telling you, you talking about your faith being put to the test, my brother. I'm telling you, my faith was put to the test. My life flashed before my eyes many, many times, but you got to go through those things. But I told my children, and I remind them over and over again, all you got to do is get distracted for 1 second in that car driving down that road. Just look at that phone for just a couple of seconds, and you veer off into that oncoming traffic. And I'm going to tell you, whenever a car's going 55 miles an hour this way and another car's going 55 miles an hour that way, that's a 110 mile an hour collision, and more than likely you are not going to make it. So what am I saying? I'm saying that distractions can take your life in the physical, and it can also take your life in the spiritual. There is a real devil out there. He is destructive, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take everything that God has given you. He wants to pull you away from the things of God. All you got to do is get your eyes off of Jesus for one moment and get your eyes on the things of this world. He'll pull you in and pull you under. We got to make up our minds this morning. I'm going to get my eyes locked in on Jesus. I'm not going to turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, there are devilish distractions pulling at us in every direction. I was a fifth grader at Peddle Junior High, and I mean, we figured our teacher out. I knew that if I were to raise my hand and ask her a question, I could get her distracted, and she'd talk about it for the whole class. And if she talked about that thing that she was so interested in, she wouldn't end up giving us work. I mean, to tell you, we'd laugh about it after the class. Her name was Miss Tweedy. I'll never forget her, Miss Tweedy. I would distract her. Listen, either it's our own lack of focus that can get us in trouble, or it can be a strategic plan of an individual to pull your mind away from that which you're to focus on. That's how criminals operate, ladies and gentlemen. They begin to distract. One criminal will go in a store and he'll talk to the clerk, or he'll talk to that one that's closest, that employee that's closest to the would-be criminal. And what does he do? He distracts them so the other one can commit that crime. Listen, this tactic is used in every area, but you and I must understand this. He is out to distract you, and you got to think about it all. All times, it may seem like a good thing, but I'm going to tell you it's not a good. A good thing can become a bad thing if it gets your eyes off of the most important thing. My Bible said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm not to seek money. I'm not to seek fame or wealth or power. Seek first Jesus. Oh, listen, God will help take care of all the problems in your life. If you seek him first, I have learned a long time ago, if I take care of God's business, he always takes care of mine. Today's society, there are more things to distract us than ever before. And this right here, you know what this is? This is a cell phone. It's one of the greatest inventions. Whenever the cell phone first came out, I know I seem prehistoric, but I used to operate with a pager. I said this the other night, that whenever I would pick up my Nokia flip phone, I felt the radiation off the flip phone. I told my wife, I said, I'm getting rid of it. We just got married. I said, I'm never using one of them cell phones. I'd go to that pay phone. But I'm going to tell you, it's come a long ways. And this thing, with this phone, you can check emails. You can watch YouTube videos. If you don't know how to do something, pull it up on YouTube. You can learn how to do anything on YouTube. This thing can connect you with people all over the world. Through the social media platforms, you can meet people and you can connect with pastors and other Christians. You can see all kinds of things, but I can tell you, you can also do a whole lot of bad things. There's a whole lot more bad things on this little phone right here than there are good. This little gadget could be the worst thing the enemy, I believe it is the worst thing, that the enemy of our soul has used to distract the people of God. I read something, a recent study published in the Journal of American Medicine Association revealed that teens who use social media more than 3 hours per day may be at a heightened risk for mental health problems. In the last couple of years, there have been an uptick in depression and anxiety among teens, especially low self-esteem, disordered eating, body image issues, and suicidal thoughts, all because of the social media platform. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm not trying to say it's all the devil. That's not what I'm insinuating today. But what I am saying is this. If you don't know how to control this thing, if you don't put some limitations on it, and parents, if you don't monitor your kids, they're going to get sucked into that thing. It's the biggest distraction ever known to man in the 20th and 21st century. Listen, I also read about this phone. Social media platforms drive surges of dopamine to the brain to keep consumers coming back over and over again. Dopamine, it's that addictive feeling that you get. The shares, the likes, and the comments on these platforms trigger the brain's reward center, resulting in a higher, similar to the one feeling of those using drugs or gambling. You ain't never heard that before, have you? The platform of the likes and the shares and all of the accolades and the comments. Stay with me today. The dopamine that is released, they say it's comparable to gambling whenever you can't stop gambling and you can't stop using drugs. I'm going to tell you, I didn't say it's all the devil. I didn't say it's all wrong. But what I am saying is this. We better recognize what the enemy's doing in our minds. We can't pick up the word of God. We can't do the things of God. We make it excuses of how busy we are, but if we do some screen evaluation, the screen time on your phone, I can tell you you're a whole lot more time on that phone than you realize. But we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to read our Bible. It looks like there's been some devilish distractions in our life, and we better recognize before the devil comes and pulls us out of the things of God completely. I'm here to remind you that satanic diversion tactics work. They work. They work on all of us. We get so easily distracted. Be on guard and be ready for this insidious trick of the enemy. When you get down to pray, I want to tell you, the enemy's going to try to distract you. Oh, he never works harder than whenever I get ready to pray. Thoughts come into my mind, I believe it's from the enemy. I didn't do this, or I need to do this, or I start being concerned about this church member. I'm going to tell you, listen, God can do more if I can focus in on prayer. I've got to get locked into that altar. Every devil in hell wants to keep me from that altar because he knows that in myself I can do nothing. In yourself, we are weak and frail human individuals. But when we get to an altar, we are calling the things of heaven down, and God begins to intervene. God Almighty, through prayer, is thrown into the conflict, and the devil knows he can't deal with God, so he's going to do everything he can to keep you from that altar. Listen, be warned and be aware that the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from the Word of God. One of the great writers said the Bible will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the Bible. He'll do everything he can to keep you from the living, eternal, inerrant Word of the Most High God. I want to tell you, if you're struggling with depression, I've got the answer. Get to the Word of God. Eat it up. Meditate on it. Begin to walk in it. I'm going to tell you, he'll cure depression. He'll give you a joy deep down in your soul. I can tell you, it's all about the life-giving flow of God. Listen, he's all about diverting and diversion tactics and distracting. When you're ready to witness to a lost soul, he's going to try to distract you. When it's church time, we get sick all of a sudden. We don't feel good. Push through that mess. Come to the house of God and begin to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and see what takes place. I want to tell you, years ago, I made up my mind. I'm not going to be diverted. I'm going to get focused. I'm going to get locked in. I may seem like a little bit extreme individual. I am an extreme individual. I'm a crazy man for Jesus. I've got to get my mind made up. I got to keep my foot on the rock because everything in hell is going to try to pull me away from the things of God. And if you can be pulled away, you will be pulled away. Get locked in and focused, and you will pass the test. When you're working on the wall, when you're doing the things in the church, your position, because nobody can do what you can do, like you can do it. When you're working on the wall, you remember the story in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was called to go back to Jerusalem to be a rebuilder of that city. The gates had been burnt with fire and the walls had been broken down. And you know the story. Nehemiah went back and he led the charge of rebuilding the city. The gates, they typify ministry. And the walls are that protection around the people of God. Nehemiah and those men were on that wall. And the Bible said they worked with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. A trowel is where you get mortar and you scrape it across those bricks and you begin to build that wall that's been broken down. Listen, whenever you and I are working in the kingdom of God, we can't put the sword down. We can't allow the enemy to come in. I'm going to tell you, I've got to make up my mind. Yeah, I got to have the sword in one hand, but I can't stop working in the kingdom of God. But when Nehemiah was on that wall, the enemy sent someone to distract him. Two men by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah. They said, Nehemiah, come down. Let's talk a little bit. Everything he can do to get you off that wall. And they invited him to the city of Ono. Ono was a resort town. They wanted him to come away and talk a little bit. Let's negotiate here. Listen, we need to get on the same page. We need to come in unity. Sanballat and Tobiah, they resisted. They did not like the rebuilding of a wall in Jerusalem. But Nehemiah made up his mind, I'm not going to debate this thing. I'm going to stay on the wall. Here's what he said to him. He said, Sanballat and Tobiah want him to come down and come to Ono. And he basically said, Ono, I'm not coming off this wall. I'm doing a good work. And I'm not coming down. You and I, we don't have much time left in this world. We've got to make up our mind. I'm going to stay on the wall. I'm going to stay at my post. You say, well, nobody sees and nobody really appreciates. I'm going to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. Everything you do in the kingdom of God, God's taking record of it. And you in your work amount to something in the things of God. Make up your mind. I'm doing a good work. I'm on the wall. I'm building it up, and I'm not coming down. On this thought of devilish distractions, let us look at our text. As we look at this text in the book of Acts, under close observation of this story, you can see exactly how Satan works. Paul and Silas were heading to a prayer meeting. So the devil sent a demon-possessed girl to distract them. I said it a moment ago, I'll say it again. The enemy's always going to distract you when you make up your mind to pray. Always. Many different forms of distraction. It may be an attack on your physical body to get you out of the routine of prayer. It may be some kind of a family emergency to get you out of the routine of prayer. I didn't say that whenever you're praying, if there's a family emergency, you don't go to the family emergency. But I can tell you, if he can get you out of that routine of prayer, if he can get you out, off of that wall, he can get you out of the mode of praying. Are you with me today? There's never been a time he wanted to distract you more. And this is what's going on. Paul and Silas, they're heading to this prayer meeting. And this demon-possessed girl had a spirit of divination. She was a fortune teller. She had a fortune-telling spirit. You say, Brother Matt, is that of the devil? You better know it's of the devil. You better know anybody who the tarot cards or fortune tellers, all that astrology, all that, that's witchcraft. And it's straight out of hell, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what happened? This went on for several days. And this girl, she's full of the devil, but she's crying out, these men are men of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. How could a woman that's full of the devil be speaking the truth? That is nothing more than a tactic of the enemy. Listen, the devil can bring his agents your way and speak the truth because the devil knows the truth. That is how deception works. He knows that you're not going to succumb to just one big lie. So what does he do? He tells you partial truth to pull you in. We better be careful who we're listening to preach on the television because they can say a lot of flashy things. They can say 90% truth. But one thing that they turn, they can twist and lead you in a wrong direction. Listen, we need to have discernment in this hour. Paul the apostle was full of the Holy Ghost. He knew that girl was full of the devil, although she had spoken truth. She was controlled by the powers of hell. And he turned around after many days of being tormented by this spirit, and he cast the devil out of this girl. Listen, we need in the Pentecostal church people of God who are sanctified, set apart, full of God's Spirit, who can speak to demon-possessed people and the demons come out. You say, well, it emptied the church. Well, let it empty the church. God has called us to set the captive free. Oh, we are full of the Holy Ghost, not just to speak in tongues, but to set the captive free. What would happen if we would fast and pray again? And die to self and let the Spirit of God begin manifest in our life, demons would tremble. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost is manifesting in a church, it'll make the devil feel uncomfortable. And if there's a devil in a human being, I can tell you that devil's going to manifest because they can't handle the power of God, the river of the Spirit of God. And you and I, if we'll get back to that altar, if we'll begin to fast and pray again, we're going to see the miraculous. We need Holy Ghost discernment. I've seen this all my life, how there'd be an agent of the enemy come in to a service in the Pentecostal church. Listen, I believe in operating and moving with the Spirit of God. But just because you see a demonstration of the Spirit doesn't mean it's God. Are you with me today? There could be somebody in the flesh that wants to divert that whole service. There could be somebody in the flesh that wants to divert that whole service. Maybe they're aware of what they're doing. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just in the flesh. But I can tell you something. That's where men of God and women of God's got to have discernment. Paul the apostle didn't listen to this lady whenever she said, "These men are servants of the Most High God." He didn't say, "Hey, she's one of us." No, he recognized in that woman a demonic spirit. A lot of pastors would have put her in the choir, would have made her a teacher right off the bat because she said something. Maybe she gave a good offering in that offering pan, and all of a sudden she's in that place. Oh, listen, there are counterfeit manifestations in Pentecost. We want to see it so bad. We want to see breakout services. We want to see God move in the miraculous in such a way. Just any spark will do. Well, listen, there's such a thing as strange fire in the house of God. And you and I, just because we want to see it so much, must be very careful not to be deceived by the adversary. I want to see the power of God. I want to see manifestations. I want to see the lost saved, the sick healed, demons cast out. I want to see the shout. I want to see the rejoicing. Oh God, whatever you want to do, bring it our way. But let it be pure. Let it be a true manifestation of Almighty God. Listen to me today. God wants to move among us, but so does the devil. Many years ago, I read partial of the book. It's entitled, "He Came to Set the Captives Free." And it was a woman that had been a witch. She was formerly a witch and she had got saved. But while she was a witch, her job was to infiltrate churches. She would come in and she would become a part of that church. And she would listen to the messages and she would cry tears and she'd come down and she would fake a conversion, saying that she got saved, and she would get plugged in for a little while. And ultimately, she wanted to get plugged into leadership, and she would begin to cause problems within that church, ultimately to divide and to destroy that church. Listen, I'm not saying we need to look at every new convert like that, but I want to tell you, when you have Holy Ghost discernment, you're going to see things that nobody else sees. Listen, there are things I know that I can't say to everybody, but the Holy Ghost just shows me something ain't right. I may not know everything, but I just know something right. And when something ain't right, something ain't right. I may not know everything, but when the Holy Ghost says go this way, I'm going to go that way. When he says turn around, I just feel uncomfortable. I better not go that direction. That's the Holy Ghost. My daughter told me one day, she said, "Dad, this guy makes me feel real funny. He ain't said anything necessarily or done anything." I said, "Don't you ever lose that Holy Ghost discernment. Don't you ever back up from that. Listen, if you see a red flag and you feel a red flag, listen, I'm not saying you get up and accuse someone falsely, but you better take note that could be the Holy Ghost. Be careful who you let give you a prophetic word. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit, not by their prophecies. Be careful who you let give you a prophetic word. The scripture also says, despise not prophecies. I believe in a prophetic word. I've been given prophetic words that I would store those words when they were given to me. And later on, I'd go back and I retracted those things. They were life to me. Listen, there were things that if I had not taken heed to, I would not be in the place I am right now. Listen, I believe in God speaking through an individual, and God can use that individual to change the course of your life, to speak truth to you. But I want to tell you, there's also a devil out there and somebody operating the flesh that can also speak things to you, tell you to go a certain direction God never intended you to go, marry a certain person God never intended you to marry. Are you with me today? Many years ago, this lady came in this service. She came up to me. She said, "Oh my, I ain't seen anything like this since the 1980s. Wow, this is unbelievable." I'm telling you, she poured it on thick. I'm thinking, wow. Well, I sure like her. Woo! Well, I like people like that. But about 2 weeks later, she comes up to me and she says, "Pastor, this morning when you were preaching, I saw two angels standing behind you. Do I believe that two angels could stand behind me? Oh, yes. And I believe we entertain angels unaware. But the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, she's lying. She said, did you hear what I said, Pastor? I saw two angels standing behind you today. And I looked at her right in the eyes. I said, well, praise the Lord. She knew that I knew she is lying. Listen to me. What am I trying to say today? I'm saying this, that we got to be careful because not everybody who prophesies, listen, a lot of people want to prophesy just because they want to seem more spiritual. They want to get in good with you. They want to show you how spiritual they are. I hope I'm not raining on anybody's parade today, but I'm going to tell you, for you to say, thus saith the Lord, if God didn't really say that, you're going to die and go to hell. You're a liar. And the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, he said, if a prophet prophesies and it doesn't come to pass, they are a false prophet. We got to be careful in our Pentecostal churches about giving prophecies when God never said it. Oh, he'll use money to distract too. I'm preaching to you today on devilish distractions. About 2 years after Pastor Taylor died, this is probably 2013. Well, no. 2 years before he died, 2 or 3 years before he died. No, it was about 2008, 2009. He passed away in 2011. Lady comes up to me, and she says, Brother Matt, I sure do love you and Sister Tori. Stay with me today. And she said, I don't have children, and you're like children to me, and I think I'm just going to put you in my will. I looked at her and said, well, praise the Lord. We get in the car, and I tell my wife, I said, honey, you ain't going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. This sister said that she's going to put us in her will. It's about 2008, 2009, the year. And she says, you better be careful. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be careful. She said, I don't feel good about that. That's a godly woman right there. About 3 weeks later, Brother Taylor just got through preaching a blistering hot message. I mean to tell you, I was shouting him down. It was good preaching. And all of a sudden, after the service, she comes up to me and she says, come here. She comes over there and we're, I mean, the church, you know, the pulpit's right over here. And I'm standing right over here. And she says, I sure love you, but that man. And she said, I love you, but that man. And she said, come over here and pray with me. And she came right over here at this altar. She knelt down, and I walked out the back door. Oh, don't talk about Brother Taylor. Don't talk about the man of God. Listen, if I'd have succumbed to that, God probably killed me. Listen to me. Don't you ever be distracted by the lies of the adversary. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing. And we must understand there are devilish distractions trying to pull us away from God. Very quickly, I want to point out three major ways the devil attempts to distract us. Number one, he will distract us through emotional distractions. Let's face it, we are emotional creatures. An emotional distraction gets us all worked up and flustered. Politics, social injustices, racism, same-sex marriage, abortion, and the list goes on and on and on. Yes, we are called to stand up for truth. I don't believe that we are to separate all that from the church. We are to stand up for righteousness, amen. But more than anything else, I'm not to stand behind here and preach politics. I am to preach the truth of God's word. Does it interject with politics? Absolutely. But I am to preach Christ crucified. I am to preach the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's called us to do. Listen, this world's not going to be saved through a politician. I don't care how much you love him or her. It ain't going to happen through politics. It's going to happen through an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival when men and women repent again and we begin to speak the faith of God like we've never sought him before. Don't allow yourself to be distracted through emotional things. Oh, listen, it's time that we lift up our voice like a trumpet. We declare the goodness of God. But our real mission, remember, is Christ and him crucified. Emotions can distract you. Sometimes people will feel like they need to quit their job and go after a bigger job. Ain't nothing wrong with making more money. But if making more money pulls you out of the house of God, I can tell you it didn't come from God. I said, we use these scriptures. Well, God said if a man doesn't provide for his house, he's worse than an infidel and denied the faith. I got to provide for my home. So it's going to pull me right out of church? No, no, no. Not every door that opens for you, ladies or gentlemen, is from God. The devil can open those doors too. We got to realize when God opens a door, when the devil opens a door. Listen, when someone tells me, well, I'm moving 400 miles away, I got a better job. My first question is, have you found a church? Have you found a church down there? Is it a Holy Ghost-filled church that preaches the truth? Do they have a place that your kids can get full of the Holy Ghost and be protected from this sin, wicked world? Listen, if that's not the case, you better go check that thing again. We get our emotions all worked up and get distracted. Someone goes to the mission field and they say, well, I'm going to quit my job. Go to the mission field. They get emotional. I tell our young people, I tell our students, I've even told people who go on our mission trips, listen, I want to tell you ahead of time. I say this to everybody. You're going to think God's called you to the mission field full time. He probably has not. Everybody feels that way. We've got to understand when God opens a door and whenever the devil opens a door. Listen, you say mission field. God's given you a mission field in your home. God's given you a mission field in your neighborhood. He's given you a mission field at that job. Listen, America's not what it used to be. We need to open our mouth around us and make known the mystery of the gospel. Men and women, boys or girls, right here in the United States of America are dying and going to hell. Some of them don't even know one book of the Bible. Some of them barely even know the Christmas story. You say in America? Absolutely. Some have never darkened the door of a church, and they need to hear about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the greatest story ever told. A man who came 2,000 years ago, shed his blood for the redemption of mankind. Let us open our mouth boldly and share the story of Christ. Be careful about the money distractions. Very quickly before I move on. Brother Taylor, years ago, when UPS started in East Texas, three or four preachers came to Brother Taylor. One of them was a very wealthy preacher, and he said, it's $500 to get started. Brother Taylor, you'll be over to the Tyler area, all of Tyler area. And these other preachers, they went to this meeting, and the UPS was getting started. And they said, $500, was this in the 60s or 70s, Sister Taylor? Let's just say 60s. It was getting started, and they were in that meeting. $500 to get started. Those preachers spoke up. Some of them said, we don't have $500. The wealthy preacher, he said, I've got you $500. And one of them said, I'm doing it. And Brother Taylor said, I can't do it. He said, God won't let me do it. And he said, why? One preacher spoke up and he said, listen, I feel like this is God's way of paying me back. I've started 3 Assembly of God churches. Brother Taylor quickly said, that's the difference between you and me. God don't owe me nothing. He said, they started UPS and all of a sudden that thing exploded. Those other preachers became multimillionaires. But Brother Taylor said they backslid. They're away from God. The last time he seen them, they had diamond rings on their hand, were covered up in diamond rings. They drive in nice cars, but they ceased to preach the gospel. He said, I wouldn't go back. And now his grandkids got mad at him later on whenever he found out he passed up UPS. But he said, I wouldn't have traded it for the world. Listen, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Are you with me today? I'd rather do the will of God, preach the gospel. I would rather be in the will and be full of the Holy Ghost than have all the money in the world. It's not worth it, ladies and gentlemen. And be aware of distractions that come your way. Number two, opportunity distractions. I've seen it often through the years. Oh, listen, I've seen it. An opportunity to come your way. And I alluded on this last point. Be careful. Not every opportunity is a God opportunity. Number three, people distractions. Can someone come to the piano? People can distract you. You must not allow people to distract you from what God is calling you to do. They'll give you accolades. They'll build you up. They'll tell you how good you are. You know what they're doing? They're fattening you up for the kill. I like good compliments. Mark Twain said he could go 3 months on a good compliment. but I hate flattery. People will compliment you. Be careful all the nice things people say about you. I want to tell you, be careful about believing all those good things people say about you, because you ain't as good as what they say you are. And I'm not either. There's only one good thing about me, and it's Jesus in me. You take Christ out of me, I'll be a sod drunk on the side of the road, ladies and gentlemen. You take Christ out of me, I'd lie, I'll probably steal. You say, well, I wouldn't do all that. I'd probably rob a bank if it wasn't for Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the enemy will put people in your path. They'll send people your way. They'll shower you with much praise and want to be your friend. I'm warning you to proceed with caution. They may be a distraction from hell. Oh, come on. And I'm just going to touch this before we close. Relationship distractions. I've seen people on fire for God. Young people, middle age, even seniors. I'm not talking about seniors in high school either. On fire for God. But they're lonely. And all of a sudden, somebody's put in their path. Young person, I used to see a fire in you. You know something? My pastor told me something. I wasn't backslid, but he just told me the truth. I got married to his number one granddaughter. And he told me about a year after I got married to her, he said, you used to open your mouth and fire would shoot out of your mouth. You ain't got it like you used to have. Sister Taylor said, red. He said, it's the truth, Mary. Something's happened to some of us. Because we allowed a distraction with a relationship. Your eyes once glowed with a passion for Christ. You wept. You hungered for God. But now you've been pulled away. You've been preoccupied. Nothing wrong with a good relationship if it's in the confines of the Scripture and it's right. And it's somebody who's on fire for God and loves God. But the moment you put that individual, even if it's a good girl, good guy, you put them before this Christ, they become an idol. And I can tell you, somebody good, somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost can pull you away from God when they become a distraction to you. Just like in the natural, you can be so easily distracted in a car or working heavy equipment, doing a dangerous job and lose your life. Listen, we are living in a dangerous world, and there's a constant attack. There's a constant zeroing in on you and your family. The enemy has a target on you. He can bring good people your way to pull you out of the things of God. I was at a School of Christ convention, and this man came my way, and he said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm assistant pastor. I'm really a nobody. I'm assistant pastor at church in Tyler. And he talked to me for a minute, and he said, man, there's something about you. I'm not saying he was a bad man, but he was trying to distract me away from the perfect will of God. He said, I believe God's called you to pastor our church. We're looking for a pastor. I told my wife, and I tell you, that kind of stuff's a pull when people want you. That's an open door. There were several open doors when I was the assistant pastor here. If it's an open door, aren't you supposed to walk through it? Oh, no. Be very careful. That open door might not be from God. And if I'd have walked through that door, I wouldn't be here today, and I'd be out of the will of God. And listen, too many lives depend on what you do, because there's a domino effect of decisions. When you get out of the will of God, somebody else can get out of the will of God. And if you begin to trace your life back to people that God's connected you to and see how that person's decisions affected your decisions, and you met them and then you met another person. Listen, everything is intricately interwoven together, and we've got to get the mind of God. We can't just do whatever we want to do. We can't just go wherever we want to go. I want to tell you, the enemy he's going to bring about devilish distractions. It may not look like a devil with long horns and a pitchfork. She may be beautiful, blue eyes and blonde hair. Boy, them blonde-headed ones get a hard time, don't they? They may be a brunette. Be careful. Money, money, money. God's talking to somebody today. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're going through, but the enemy's trying to distract you. He's got you on that wall. He's got you in, listen, in January, we make up our mind. I hope we haven't gotten out of prayer. I hope we haven't gotten away from the Word of God. But January is just that time we say, it's a new year. I'm going to focus on God. We start praying. We start fasting. And the enemy, he'll distract you to get you off course just a little bit. Somebody will make you mad, hurt your feelings. And then you won't come to a service because you're trying to wait just a little bit. And then you get out of that routine. Get away from that altar. You sit in that rocking chair and you drink your pour me tea and just meditate on how bad life really is. Life is not bad, ladies and gentlemen. We have a good life. God's been good to us. Can we stand? Whoever you are in this place and whatever God's speaking to you specifically, listen to His voice. Listen to His voice. Because I believe in a perfect will of God. I believe God's got us on a course. He's got us on a path. We want to make things happen, and we push that thing through. Be careful about pushing things through. Wait upon the Lord. Don't push it through. Wait and let God have His perfect way, and whenever it takes place, it's going to be right. Don't be distracted. Get single-minded. You say, well, Brother Matt, I can't be so heavenly-minded that I'm no earthly good. I promise you, you won't be that way. I promise. I'll tell you why I promise you that. Because it just takes a little bit of working on a public job, just going through a few trials, a few days, and a couple weeks, and you'll be right back to normal. I see people get all excited. They go on trips, or they do this or do that, and they come back, and they're wanting to just take the world by storm. And you know, my flesh wants to say, hey, let me talk to them just for a minute. Pull them aside and calm them down. I know better than that. Most of the time, just the trials and tribulations of life will calm them down. I don't want to be so heavenly-minded that I'm no earthly good. More than likely, you ain't going to be that way. We live in this world. Troubles, trials, sicknesses, all the problems of this life. What we need to do is fight for focus. Are you with me today? I said fight for focus. Get single-minded. And understand there's devilish distractions everywhere. It can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. It can be someone intentionally trying to distract you, or it could be someone that's just in the flesh and they have no idea what they're doing. We need discernment in this hour. I'm going to ask you to come and stand very close around this altar. There's a lot of people here this morning. Come in as close as you can. We're going to pray at this altar. God's going to help us at this altar today to get focused. In every occupation, moving as close as you can, in every occupation in the world, the ones that are typically the most successful are people who learn how to focus. If you have any age on you this morning, any experience, you can even attest to this. You can attest to the fact that on your job, hobby, something you're doing at the house, anything, when you learn to block everything else out and get focused on God, focused on that situation, you perform better. And that's just the way it is. Do you remember Peter? Peter was on that boat. The storm was raging. Not only were they in a storm, they thought they were about to sink, him and the disciples. But now, all of a sudden, to make matters worse, there's a ghost walking on the water. A storm? If we survive the storm, the monster's going to kill us. And all of a sudden, they recognize it was Jesus. He's the one that's out on that storm. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Jesus, if that's you, bid me come out on that water. Jesus just said, come. Peter's the only one that got out of that boat, and he began to walk on that water. Supernatural. the only person besides Christ that was recorded in the Bible that walked on the water. He's walking on the water. He's looking at Jesus, but here's what happens. He's focused on the Master. He's focused on Jesus. Everything's good. But all of a sudden, he gets his focus off of the Master and gets it on the winds and the waves surrounding him. That's where most everybody in this sanctuary and those watching by Facebook, this is where we miss it right here. Trials of life, storms of life. He's walking on the water, but he starts recognizing what's happening. Fear gets a hold of him. He hears the wind. He sees the rain blowing sideways. And it hits him. I'm walking on water, and I'm in a storm. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And the Bible said he begins to sink in a sea of despair. It happens every single time when we get distracted by things. People, places, things. We get distracted by people, places, things. We begin to sink again. But what did Jesus do? He came and he lifted up Peter by the hand and he pulled him up out of that water. Thank God for his mercy. Here's what's been going on. Most of us get distracted. We get afraid. Trials. Some of you have been just fearful this week because of trials that are coming your way or potential things that could happen. And then you start sinking again. It's time for us to recognize that if we'll keep our eyes upon Him, everything's going to be all right. I want us to stretch our hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, you see these people. This is your congregation. This is the people of God. Lord, you know every distraction, every device of the enemy. You know, Lord, what causes us to be pulled away and get off course. Lord, we cry out today in repentance. We cry out today asking you to forgive us. Let's do that right now. Let's ask the Lord to forgive us. Let's ask him to cleanse us and forgive us for a spirit of unbelief. Lord, you know. I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd wash us in your precious blood today. Oh God, help us. We get so easily distracted, so easily pulled away. Master, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Once again, help us to get our eyes upon you. That's where the power is. That's where the anointing is. That's where we move in the supernatural, is when we get our eyes upon you. Lord, I'm asking you to give us discernment. Everything that comes our way, people that come our way, emotional issues that try to get our mind off the most important thing, try to get us frustrated and upset over things that really do not matter. Lord, we get so caught up in natural things that we move out of the realm of the Spirit. Oh God, help us. Help us to do the things that are the most important. Oh God, I'm asking you to help us to see those little distractions. Whatever they are today, God's speaking to you by His Spirit. And I believe that maybe He's identified some things in your heart, some little things that have distracted you and pulled you away from the spiritual things. We need to identify them this morning. Maybe He spoke it to you in the seat. Maybe He's speaking to you at this altar. I want us to cry out to the Master. Ask Him. I want you to identify it. I want you to ask the Lord to help you to get victory over it. Lord Jesus, whatever it is, in each individual life, we know that you're able to help us. We know that you're able, Lord, to give us discernment to see and to understand. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Reach over and pray for somebody beside you this morning. When we come into the sanctuary, we see our brothers and sisters. Beautiful, dressed nice, with a smile upon their face. You have no idea the pain that they're going through. You have no idea the trials and the tribulations they're going through. We need to be in constant prayer for one another that our faith will not fail. That my brother and sister's faith will not fail in the midst of the storm. Lord, I cry out to you today. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Lord, to strengthen, to help in the hour of temptation, in this last day, in the closing hours, the dispensation of grace, that you would help us. Oh God, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Help us to see the devilish distractions when they come our way. Lord, help us not to succumb to the tricks and the deception of the enemy of our soul. We're tired of the deception. We're tired, Lord, asking you to help us today. Help us today, Lord. Help us today, Holy Ghost.
I will make room.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. Yes, I will make room for you.
Hallelujah.
To do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to.
One of the greatest things the enemy does is just distract us. I believe Brother Darren Smith had told me that he talked to some of the great, like Leonard Ravenhill and some of these other men of God, and he said, what's the worst thing, what's the number one thing that takes place in the life of believers that end up becoming their undoing? You know what these men of God said, these great men of God, these guys that wrote books, these Pentecostal pioneers, you know what they said? Distractions. Number one, distractions. We get distracted from the things that are the most important. He don't have to get you to go in a bar room. He don't have to do that. He don't have to get you to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. He don't have to get you to do that. Just get you distracted. Get you away from that altar. Get you away from the house of God. Remember, in that animal kingdom, them predators always go after them animals that have pulled away from the flock, the herd. We need one another. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Let's thank him right now. Let's thank him for speaking by his Spirit in this house. Let's thank him for speaking by his Spirit in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Shake up the